Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
B-Pod Studios.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
This guy never says anything bad, though. He does a tremendous job covering the Eagles for ESPN.com at 97.5 The Fanatic. Mr. Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline. How you doing today, Tim? Good to hear from you.
I'm doing all right, Ty. Is that like my walk-up song now?
There you go. Yes, actually, it might be. Yeah, I really like it.
There you go.
All right, so, Tim, the Eagles, they do their offseason a little bit different, and I have no complaints about it because Sirianni has had nothing but success with his out-of-the-box thinking. But them and the Bengals, they keep everything basically voluntary. They don't do the mandatory mini-camps and things like that. But it seems like they seem to get really good attendance despite the fact that it's voluntary. From what have you seen as far as just the attendance goes? Because from what I'm hearing, it's pretty much almost everybody there.
Yeah, it's been decent. You know, going back a couple of years, there's been this like handshake agreement between the coaching staff and the veteran group, which relays it to the rest of the team of like, listen, we're gonna do away with the mandatory mini camps, but our hope is that we have really good attendance. That way you don't have to worry about coming in for these mandatory sessions a little bit later in the off season. You get some extra rest time, but we get our work done. And that's pretty much what you've seen. I mean, the one OTA session that was open to us last week, there were a handful of guys, including Devontae Smith, who's been dealing with a little bit of a toe thing from last year, and Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Hassan Reddick, guys like that who weren't in attendance. So I'm not going to say it was full attendance, but overall it's been pretty good. And yeah, they only have seven sessions this year. They don't have mandatory minicamp. Like you said, it's just them and the Cincinnati Bengals that choose to do it that way. I think coming off of a Super Bowl in particular makes a little bit more sense, where there are guys who are coming off of surgeries or just lingering injuries. You want to get everybody healthy and ready to go for the start of the regular season, especially those veterans. And as you said, you can't really complain given the results last year.
I know Lane Johnson had a chance to speak and you guys got to interview him. What was your takeaway from what he had to say?
So the biggest takeaway for me was that his doctors told him that there's about a 1% chance of re-tearing the adductor, and that's where what he had the surgery for this offseason, as we know, played through the playoffs with it. Still don't know how was able to muscle through there. And he talked about the recovery process and basically was saying, Hunter, that he had to like get up and walk a half a mile like a day after the surgery because the doctors don't want basically to recover and have them be stiff by just kind of laying around, so they have to work through it. And so it was a bit of a grueling process for Johnson coming off of that surgery. But, you know, the positive thing is he said that the rehab overall was much less intensive than what he had for the ankle. Feels good. He's been cleared to return, and he's been participating in some OTAs. And so good signals overall for Lane Johnson.
Talk a little bit about DeAndre Swift. I mean, that's one guy that's been brought up a lot right now in this camp.
No doubt. I mean, the one thing that stood out to me in the session that we were able to see last week, Ricky, was how much Nick Sirianni was talking with him. You know, he stood during the individual drills. He stood right over the quarterbacks and the running backs who were doing both the handoffs and some pass and catch. And every time that Swift, and the same applies to Rashad Penny, got finished with a handoff or a pass catch, Sirianni was in their ears, giving them instructions, trying to get them kind of up to speed with what the Eagles are doing. And, you know, you can see just they're not doing a ton right now. We understand that. But, you know, just kind of how a person moves, how a running back, the athletic and the agility, the pass catching ability, all of that is pretty obvious and jumps off the page when it comes to Swift. Now, that being said, the Eagles, like when they do these drills, it was more by like the veterans would lead at first. So the guys who have been here, I should say. So you saw, you know, Kenny Gainwell and Boston Scott that would be the first reps in these drills, followed by Swift and Penny. But the full expectation is those guys are going to have everything to jump up the depth chart, and, you know, Swift certainly among that group.
We're speaking with Tim McManus. Does a tremendous job covering the Eagles for ESPN.com and 97.5 The Fanatic. My question actually branches off of that. We talked about Jalen Hurts took that leap last year, close to MVP, without injury. Maybe he ends up winning it, takes his team to the Super Bowl, and outside of a turnover, plays admirable in that Super Bowl, plays really, really well. One of the things that someone told me, that one of the limitations in the offense last year was being able to fully use the running backs in the passing game, because Miles Sanders had a great year, but that wasn't his strong suit. Does adding Swift perhaps unlock maybe even another element in the offense and another tool for your quarterback that they didn't have the previous 2 years?
You know, I think it's a great point. Yeah, absolutely. I think that there can be certain weeks where running backs are featured more in the passing game, because you're going to have Swift, and I'll add Kenny Gainwell to that as well. I expect Gainwell to be, you know, fully in the mix here. I think that you can lean on that a little bit more. Now, that being said, there's going to be some weeks where it still looks very much like what we saw last year, and that's not because the running backs can't catch the ball, but it's because you have to feed A.J. Brown and you got to feed Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert. And so that'll limit the overall amount of touches out of the backfield that these running backs are going to get. But yeah, I think that is something at Jalen Hurts' disposal. And I'll say there's a couple things that stood out to me about Hurts, just watching him move in the practice that we saw. One is that he looks like he's a little bit more kind of, he added a little bit more mass to the upper body, and his arms in particular look a little bit more cut and a little bit bigger. And the ball seemed to be jumping out of his hands more than I had seen in years past. So that was just something that, you know, popped to my eye. And then there were these anticipation throws that he were making, and some of the newcomers, like safety Terrell Edmonds, was talking about this. Like, there's anticipation throws that Jalen Hurts is making, you know, during these sessions that are standing out to his teammates on defense, saying, like, you have to be on your P's and to kind of understand what his intentions are, because he's been really good with his eye discipline in terms of looking off of safeties. He has a good understanding of what he's seeing from the defensive picture, and he's anticipating and getting the ball out very fast. So I would say overall there's encouraging signs from Jalen Hurts that maybe, you know, there's another level to his game. We'll see if that progresses as the summer goes on here.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Fanatic.
Since you brought up safeties, I was thinking you named Edmonds. What about Sidney Brown? I know there was some buzz around the draft and when he got selected. What do you think he can be, and where do you think he fits right now?
So right now I would say that he fits as kind of like the third safety. I would say that Edmonds and Blankenship, you know, you pencil them in as the starters at this moment, but I think that's one position certainly that's open to competition, given the turnover that they had this offseason with both of their starters exiting. And in terms of Brown, I don't know that people behind the scenes talk more about any incoming prospect than they talk about Sidney Brown. They love this guy. And we'll see if that comes to fruition and whether he ends up having, you know, a good rookie season and a good career. But I know that they feel really good about, you know, what he brings from an intangible perspective, his ability to cover the entire field, he can play up, he can play back, and he's got really good range across from everything they viewed And they feel like he can be one of the, you know, better guys. If they named him one of their, you know, like blue chip prospects, basically, it's when one of the scouts or the scouting community feels so strong that they're, you know, they're putting sort of stamp on it saying, this is a guy that we really need. He fits all the Eagles characteristics. Like, this is the dude. You know, Sidney Brown is that one. So we'll see if the buzz matches, you know, if the play matches the buzz, but there's a lot of buzz coming internally from Sidney Brown.
How about your first impressions on Jalen Carter?
Haven't been able to gauge much. I mean, just because of the nature of what they're doing right now, get a feel for offensive or defensive linemen. They're just not engaging, you know, not able to be physical at the standpoint. Going from his what he's done at college and the way they see him move, I mean, it's obviously that he's got a ton of ability in that body. And we just have to see if, you know, he stays on track and is able to, you know, when we talked to Nick Sirianni, you know, early on in these sessions about whether he was in shape, whether Jalen Carter was in proper shape, because we know pro day he wasn't able to finish it, the whole thing. And he sort of seemed to deflect that, saying nobody's in good shape at this point in time, which raised my radar a little bit. And he said, you know, all these guys got to get in better shape. But he, you know, if Carter was kind of wowing them with how good a shape he was, I feel like the Eagles would have been, you know, broadcasting that, and they didn't. That doesn't mean that he's not. It's just something that caught my attention. And so that's something we'll be looking at there in the summer. But if he's able to put it all together, I mean, he's obviously an unbelievable prospect. It's just a matter of, you know, whether that comes to fruition. So it's something that my eyes are going to be glued on, you know, basically all summer long.
Well, Tim, we really appreciate it. Last thing, just Cam Jurgens, I know you couldn't see them play. Do you envision him holding on to that right guard spot? They did draft some possible competition there.
Yeah. It's yes, Tyler Steen out of Alabama. Will he make the transition from tackle into guard? Or are they going to have Jurgens make that transition from center to the right guard spot? I would put Jurgens as the favorite for that right now, with kind of the understanding that there will be a competition that goes on through training camp. But he plans on going, he's at like 305 right now, plans on reporting to camp at like 310 or 315 pounds to make sure that he, you know, adds weight for the necessary rigors of that new position. And Lane Johnson talking about him yesterday, he's like, dude, this guy is super strong and, you know, and smart. And so they feel like he has the tools to make that jump from center to guard, replacing maybe like an under talked about, you know, part of this offseason. He's a really good player, and I think that they're going to miss him. But Jurgens, they feel really good about, and I know Kelsey has a whole lot of faith in him as well. And so he seems to be on track, at least right now, as the early favorite.
Well, Tim, we appreciate the check-in. We'll talk to you soon. Camp will be around before we know it, so enjoy the downtime while you can, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Always good checking in with you guys. Talk to you soon.
Thanks so much. That was Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline. Does such a good job covering the Eagles for ESPN.com and 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.